day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
"This is a type of blood cancer."
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I got this awesome new clock, but I don't know how to tell time yet, so I do not know when to go to sleep. Hey, I've got an idea. Maybe you guys can help me. Will you help me learn how to tell time so I know when to go to bed? Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Let's zoom over here to the clocks and learn how to tell time.
Got up.
This first clock we see is an analog clock.
The same brand.
This is the new clock I got. To learn time, let's start off with an easier version of this clock.
Does anybody really know what time
it
is?
There's this guy who's a regular guy who lived a regular life. Got up 7:30 every morning, had the same breakfast, kissed the same wife goodbye every morning, went to the same office, came home. This he did Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, he played with the children, did handiwork around the house. Sundays, he took the family out on the station wagon to the suburbs. And there they looked at the houses and the trees, the billboards, the gasoline stations and the railroad crossings. And his life might have gone on like this forever. Except one night, something strange happened to him. You see, he went to bed at 10:30, and some of his friends stayed up later. And one of them closing up a place that closed at 2 in the morning, decided to call this regular liver and said, "What time is it?" on the telephone. Well, he woke up and he said, "Who's this? Who's this? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's no time to call. Bye." But the practical joker called every night, 2 o'clock in the morning. He did this for 2 weeks. The friend cajoled, said, "Who is it? Stop." Finally, after 2 weeks, the practical joker lost interest in the joke and did stop. Then came 2 o'clock, and the phone didn't ring. So he woke up. Why isn't the phone ringing? And he discovered that the only way that he could go back to sleep was to say, "What time is it?" And look at his watch and say, 2 o'clock. Then he could sleep. He did this a couple of nights until he began to think, "It's 2 o'clock where I am. What time is it in New York? Or in Hollywood? Or in London? Or in Hong Kong? In Cairo?" He didn't know. So the next day he went out and he bought himself some clocks. He got clocks from all over, and he put them all over the walls, and the time was there. He knew what time it was everywhere that counted. And this made him feel comfortable. He became so interested in time that he got little egg timers and gave them away as presents. He read about time in books, sidereal time. Time way out in the universe. He knew what time it was on Arcturus and the Pleiades and the Milky Way. One night, though, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the light wouldn't go on. The fuse had blown. But suddenly he realized he knew what time it was without even looking. Not only in the important cities of this world, but in the entire universe. And naturally, he began to brag a little the next day. He told people, "I know what time it is." And they tested him. And he did know. The administration had changed at this particular time, and they wanted to save money. So they got rid of all their astronomers, all their telescopes, their weights and measures, and they put this man in Washington in a little room where he sits to this day, simply saying, "Beep. The time now is..."
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is Raymond, your host at the squeaking door. Come in, won't you? Well, you're shivering. Cold? Oh. Well, don't let it throw you. Just remember that many are cold, but few are frozen. Well, our story, to be different tonight, is about murder. Murder and a clock. So, if you've got a little time to kill, let's do it now, huh?
Why, Mr. Raymond, nobody can really kill time.
Well, maybe not, but you certainly can frighten it. Didn't you ever hear of an alarmed clock?
Mr. Raymond, someday you're going to choke on one of those puns.
And won't that be nice, Mary? Then you can revive me with guess what, Lipton tea.
Oh, dear, must this go on week after week? Why must I talk to the only person in the world?
That was Raymond Johnson from Kenosha. Charlie Spivak and Irene Day on the Music of the Stars.
As soon as light of day begins to fade away, I slowly turn the magic key into the inner sanctum of like it used to be within the inner sanctum of my memory. Once again you say the things you used to say. It seems apart. And once again I thrill and feel that burning chill when through my lips you drank my heart. No matter where you go, there's one thing that I know. Each night you'll always be with me. Within the inner sanctum of my memory. Again you say the things you used to say. It seems we've never been apart. And once again I thrill and feel that burning chill when through my lips you drank my heart. No matter where you go, there's one thing that I know. Each night you'll always be with me. Within the inner sanctum of my memory.
Charlie Spivak, the sweetest horn this side of heaven, is how he promoted himself. Who's going to argue with that? Here's Tony Fontaine. Leroy Anderson.
There was a man like you and me, as simple as a man could ever be, and he was happy as a king, except for one peculiar thing. He had a clock that worked all right. It worked all right, but not exactly quite. Instead of going tick-tock, tick, the crazy clock went tock, tick-tock. The poor old now a famous man is he. He owns a public curiosity. From far and wide the people flock to hear the syncopated clock. Came to hear and see, but none of them could solve the mystery. They called Professor Einstein too. He said, there's nothing I can do, but soon the fickle human race will find another freak to take its place. And one fine day the man will hop the poor old syncopated clock.
Mitchell Parrish. Yeah, of Stardust fame, did the lyrics on that. Leroy Anderson. And Tony Fontaine. Not Johnny, Tony. Here's Edie Gourmet again. Music of the Stars. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time was a friend of mine back when I was young, and summer was forever. Something new to learn. Time, I guess you've known us all, the cowards and the kings. Well, you must remember. The story I've told is ending. Time, you're leaving me behind. Feel you moving on as you.
In 2017, Dick Hames.
I would like you to listen, pay attention and listen to a story that's old but never stale. I would like you to listen, pay attention and listen to a 20th century fairy tale. Once there was a princess, once there was a guy, and they fell in love one wonderful day. She was a princess, he was just a guy. So there was the royal devil to pay. They were ordered not to speak to one another, and they knew the sorrow that would bring. Still they promised not to speak to one another, but they didn't promise not to sing. So beneath her window, tenderly he sang all the things he promised never to say.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Did you set your clocks ahead 1 hour this morning? It's a task that Ohio State Representative Stephen Doan wants to come to an end. For the last two legislative sessions, he's introduced a bill that would eliminate DST.
Permanent standard time goes to natural body rhythms, to the natural time that we've always had light.
Hawaii and Arizona don't observe daylight saving time, nor do the U.S. territories of American Samoa, Guam, Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he knows why President Trump is threatening 250% tariffs on Canadian lumber and dairy products.
What he wants is to see a total collapse of the Canadian economy.
The stock market just had its worst week in 6 months. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi blames the uncertainty that surrounds President Trump's tariff threats.
It's called stroke of the pen risk. It's the on-again, off-again tariffs that are just driving business people and investors crazy.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Don Rosenstein.